Oh, so we're ready for the Marina Abramovich?
I believe we are. You're going to be hearing the voice of Victor Mendolia, who conducted the interview with us right here in Studio B at the Hudson studio of WGXC FM.
Okay, let's see. Now
with one flip of the switch, we're going to be presenting the interview. We're so happy to be here with Marina Abramovich, who has announced that she's going to bring the Marina Abramovich Institute of Performance Art here to Hudson, New York. And it just so happens the building is right across the street, right across 7th Street from the studio where we are now. We're in Studio B and in Hudson, New York, and I just want to say welcome, first of all, to Ms. Abramovich.
I am very happy to be here, and actually this is my first interview in the studio, and we are really neighbors.
That's right. And I thought, I know that you're trying to meet people in the community and introduce the whole idea of the Institute to the community, and I thought we'd just have a little neighborly chat. We've been interviewing some other people from around this area, so and you're a newcomer, so we welcome you.
I'm really happy to be here, and you know, to be in Hudson, it's very important for me not just implant Abramovich Institute like out of the sky, but to understand what is the community, to understand the rules of community, to meet people, to really see how this all the ideas of mine can fit here, and if they don't, how I can change them to actually fit better.
Why did you choose Hudson?
You know, to tell you the truth, when I came to New York, which is now 15 years ago, I was really looking for the space where I can have the home for my institute, and the first thing I went, it was to look in Brooklyn, and I was looking in Bushwick area. And I found amazing big factory building, and I was thinking, oh my God, this would be great, I'm going to have it there. And the price was right, but the moment when you have to research the ground, there was so much pollution, so much oil, they have to be clean, and the city put so many restrictions that actually doing this, that would be like a 5 times price of the stuff I paid, I could not afford. And then I was so happy that actually I didn't do it, because it was just in my beginning coming to New York. After a while, after 3 or 4 years living there, I understood that I have to get out of New York at least every weekend. I have to get to nature. I have to get to a place where it's more quiet, because I could not think. You know, New York is the place, is the city who never sleeps. There is so much sound pollution, so much visual pollution, so much work to do. And all my ideas about Institute is completely opposite. It's about calmness, it's about centering yourself, and in a way it will never work there. So when I came here first to get my house in Malden Bridge, I came to Hudson like everybody else on the weekend, wandering around, and I saw this building. At that time was the storage of antique shop, and I went in and the building was on sale, and I really, it was instant revelation. Oh my God, could I do it here? And I think Hudson is the right place.
Well, it's certainly a wonderful space. I think it has many possibilities, and I don't think you'll have to clean up oil. You might have to sweep out popcorn because it was built as a big theater, movie theater, and then a tennis court.
I think in the middle it was a disco as well, so maybe some glitter in there.
No, before even a movie theater, actually it was also the real theater with the real stage. So they have all these evolutions. But whatever was happening there was always some kind of performance arts, you know, so there is already kind of history there.
So, but you knew about something about Hudson and its population, its artist population?
You know, I really was interesting to explore not just the Hudson, but entire area and upstate, to see just generally about communities, because there is so many history of communities here, from Shakers to the many other ones, even from 1800, 1900, and esoteric, Masonic, all kinds. And I was interested to understand how this community works, what they make them, you know, have evolution, and what they made them stop working, and why they fail. And I would like to learn on this example what I should not do. And one I think that all this community have in common is somehow they become too isolated. They become some kind of self-sufficient, but in not the right way. And they will never really relate to the larger community. And I understand that my institute can only work if I really be accepted by the community. Mm-hmm. And the community will be first ones who will experience this center. And they will be the first one who will carry these ideas to anybody who come into the Hudson.
Well, Hudson has had its ups and downs, as you know. It was discovered by Henry Hudson way back, 400 years ago now. And it's been through many incarnations and seems to be on the upswing at the moment. And a statistic came out recently that said that Hudson had the highest percentage of entrepreneurs, of self-employed people, than any city in the state.
Well, I was not aware of that. That's a very important piece of information.
We welcome you as a new entrepreneur.
But at the same time, I'm an artist, you know, and that's a kind of almost contradiction in term, because artists mostly not entrepreneurs. But I really wanted to find, you know, this institute will not be run by me. First, mm-hmm. it will run by the French man called Serge Le Bon. But also, I will work with a very young crew and young curators, and I wanted to bring this new energy into it, because I'm just initiator. I want to create platform, but you know, and you can't. I don't want it to control. I wanted this thing breed by itself, mm-hmm. and to reflect the community needs.
Well, we're really excited that you're going to be here, and I know that you've made efforts recently to. Get into the community first by creating a website, and it's very welcoming to people who can make comments, say anything they want, and ask you questions. And several people from your staff have been here recently, and I've enjoyed talking with them and hearing what the next plan is for reaching the community.
But Ona, also, I was just recently in the gala in Basilica, you know, with giving the award to Dennis Wedlick, the
yes.
architect, which I think he done really great things for this area, mm-hmm. with the all this new idea of the green housing. And
the Habitat for and Humanity.
Habitat Project of Humanity, it's one of the most wonderful mm. project mm-hmm. you can imagine. And just seeing the people who build the houses, seeing the ones who receive them, and to see all these emotions of that gala, it was so deeply moved me, because I can see potentiality that, you know, we really don't want to accept things as they are. We want to see how we can change them with your own efforts. And that's what this community really reflects. And it's so different than other communities, which is really about so much more business oriented, so much more about the commodity, the money, and so on. Here, the human level, it's the really the looks like the number one, and that's what I really my institute is about.
Well, you're going to be bringing in students and lots of people, is my understanding, and we're all wondering, as you are too, I suspect, about where they're all going to be staying.
You see, a part of that, we have much more urgent problems. And you see, I'm an artist and I'm a performance artist. And performance artists are not the same as a painter or a sculptor, who in my age could make already millions, and I don't. So I had put my all efforts by buying the building, by putting the new roof, and asking Rem Koolhaas and Shoshi Gamatsu to create the master plan. So now we've done all that. So now we are in the second phase, that the master plan have to be, we create blueprints that actually have the plan how we're going to build. And then the third the step will be go to constructors and you know, negotiate the prices, and then that will be built. So all this, we are talking $15 million. This is a huge amount of money, and now we are trying to split in different phases,
mm-hmm.
and we are trying to see how, with the Kickstarter, we can raise certain amount of
money. Oh, you're going to do a Kickstarter program.
we are trying to do that. And then
a part of this, we have to,
you know, go to different phases to find out how we can actually, for less money, maybe 7 million, construct a part of the building could be functional. And while we are doing our programs, we raise the more money. But that's the, you know, one step. Second step is we need another building. And this is something that I'm trying to figure out how we can community see rent-free or, you know, for minimum rent we can afford, that actually we can put the people, you know, the students and the, mm-hmm. the people who will participate in program as in the lodging. Because I would definitely wanted to work with Columbia, with the Howard, Williams College, Bard College, all, and I have contacts with all of them, you know, to create that kind of the student exchange program. But a part of that, I am coming from Europe, so that will be lots of European, the exhibitions and we're not talking about exhibitions, we're talking about performances mm-hmm. or the musics or the, you know, theater pieces and so on coming will be kind of interesting for people to see things that normally you can't see here. Mm-hmm. And the another thing that we have to make entire research of the artists who live in this area, because so many artists live, you know, the young ones who have to meet, and the older ones I know already, who can actually, create certain programs. I not just want to show the finished pieces, but I also like to show work in progress, that the community can see, maybe in a series of rehearsals, how the dance piece is made. You know, not just when it's ready, and then you come in and you're kind of passive onlooker of the work, but also to see how the people create. So to have some kind of open workshops for the community to can participate. But a part of this, we also have this entire system of chambers, I call them, which people have to go to experience mm-hmm. different things in order to get to the certain state of mind, which I want first, for me first. And the majority of people living in Hudson have to go through this process.
Have a change of mind.
But not just, it's not about the change of mind, because they understand what I wanted to do with this institute. They can be spokesmen for me. They mm-hmm. can actually, mm-hmm. when they come, the foreigners out and come to here, they can actually give perfect explanation. Is they are the ones who are going to actually benefit and work farther into
well,
this area.
I'm glad you're mentioning this, because I did want to ask you something about long durational performances, but something else was on my mind.
long durational, not just for different area long durational, because, you know, I always people say, but what do you mean by long durational? You know, first of all, our life is so hectic, less in Hudson, but everywhere else. You know, you wake up, you do things, you have messages, your computer, your internet, busy all the time. So what happens if you take 6 hours, like this institute offer you, to actually put your watch away, put your telephone away, put everything reminds you on time, and go to another experience to see how that experience can actually change you and bring that kind of experience into your own life, whatever you do. Like you work in radio, you bring that experience into your work, or you worked in a factory, or you're a teacher in a school. That's really important. It's not anymore, we're not talking anymore about performance per se. We are talking about kind of more like a culture which unified science, technology, spirituality, and art. And we are basically talking about cultural spa. That's what we are trying to do, is a cultural spa in Hudson.
Oh, we need that. That's wonderful. I know what I was going to ask you. You're not going to be just showing the process of performance art, but also of dance and all other disciplines, right?
We're talking about the material arts, what they are. Very classical, but there are some very interesting new possibilities of approaching opera, dance, film, video, theater, and performance. It's all these forms of art, you see? And that's what is so exciting, because I think it would be very selfish to show just work of art that I'm busy with. It's just the one particle of much larger the picture. I'm always interested in big picture, and I'm not putting myself into center of that big picture.
So with the long duration stuff that you are famous for and is your focus, there's a lot more of the typical show size performance pieces. Is that something that you would not cover at all, or is it something that will be a part of it but it might not be the main focus?
I, At the moment, I think we'll be part, but not the main focus, because, you know, we really try to do something that you're coming here to see something that you never see anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. because Institute for Long Durational Performance Art doesn't exist nowhere.
Right.
So to have something kind of radical, you bring completely new type of audience because it's so strange and different. You know, but if you think about the history of long durational, in 1800, Richard Wagner will make the opera who is 15 hours, and he will learn his singers. He will give them instruction, what if to eat, what if to drink. They will never leave the stage. I mean, that was already, you know, at that time, Stockhausen made the pieces for 29 hours. John Cage made the organ, who is in Germany now, performing for since 2001, and supposed to be performed 636 years, and will finish in 2645 when we're all very dead. But you see, that the idea of long durational in many different media, it's existing for a long time, but never been localized in one place, that as I try to kind of put it. And this is why it will be so unique. There is the video work of Douglas Gordon, who he took the Hitchcock Psycho, and he slowed down this film on 24 hours. So you are going to dinner, and you see the scene in the shower with knife, so famous. And then you go for dinner with your friends, and you come out from dinner 4 hours later, and it's still the knife didn't penetrate the shower. I mean, you know, but it's something to do with time, which is so particularly interesting, because I experience on myself, especially in my retrospective with artists present in MoMA, that when you are really in this long duration of time, something happened with time, stop existing. And really works on your mind in different way. And the public was interactive with me. And I think that we need that kind of time for ourselves, because normally we are not taking it in our own home, even if we can. So we need a structure that you go in to actually be with ourselves.
Do you think that it changes people physically and has an effect on the mind at the same time? When you go through something like this,
and it's amazing. This is why I, you know, every single thing that I propose to people, I actually experience on myself, and I find out what works and what doesn't work, and so I give them the sublime, the things really work. You know, the simple thing when you get into the institute and you sign the contract that you have to be 6 hours there, and you put everything in your locker, you get your lab coats and. You actually, what you go first to do is to make a slow motion walk. You just have to walk slowly and just concentrate on your body movement. We do so many things in the same time. We're walking, we are talking, we are answering the phone, we are doing whatever. But if you just do one thing at a time, just slow walking, it's incredibly important. I remember a long time ago, I was somewhere in Italy, in Sardinia, and I talked to the shepherd. And in the mountains, it was just there. And every time I ask him a question, he will close his eyes and answer. And I ask again the question, and he again close eyes and answer. And I say, but why you always close your eyes when you're talking to me? But then he said something really blew my mind. He said, but when I am talking to you, I don't need to see. So it's one thing at a time. So the slow motion walk, you learn public to do one thing at a time. Then after this, they go into the drinking water chamber. We drink water unconsciously, just glop the water, that's it. But what about close your eyes and feel the coldness and wetness of the water and hear how it goes into your body and how nourish every atom of your body and so on and so on. So it's a so simple ritualization of everyday action and in that kind of structure is institute. So that really does something to you. Just the 6 hours that you don't check your phone, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Well, when your two staff people, Danica and Pericles, were here the other day, and luckily they were here on the days when there were some common council meetings, some political committees that they got to witness to see what goes on in government here. So we like to think that might have been an eye-opener for them. Mm-hmm. But they talked about a long-durational race. A foot race as a way to introduce yourself to the community. one way.
I would like very much that this question be addressed by Sienna, who is our social media.
Oh, Sienna, who's here.
Who is a social media, and I think she, you know, I'm really surrounded by very young people who have the vision and who are there to help me to find new ways how we can actually approach community. And she's, to me, like a fresh air. She comes, and every day she has so much energy. She comes with these hundreds of ideas, and sometimes I slow it down. And that, you know, her and a few other, you know, people working in Mai came with this idea of the race. So I like her to address this.
Okay, Sienna.
Hi, Ellen.
You're on.
Hi. Thank you, Marina. So we've had this idea to do what we're calling a long-durational race in Hudson. We're thinking it's going to be 10 miles. Yes, 10 miles, around 10 miles. Some of the logistics we have to work out. But really as a way of building the community here, making people aware of what we're doing in the community. And on the day of the race, we're hoping to have sort of a small event where we show our progress with the Institute, where the architects maybe speak about the Institute. And so people will really be involved and making connections to our staff and really and to each other and talking about the mission and of what could be possible with this Institute before it's made.
That's a wonderful idea. I think Danica and Pericles, your two staff people, learned that, first of all, Hudson is only 2.5 square miles.
Yes.
So it's hard to do. There's a way you can do 10 miles, but you may have to repeat yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes. It'll be maybe a lap race.
Right. Anyway, it was a great idea.
Yeah.
And then also I just want to say that on the 8th of July, the government have here, you have the official meetings, but you also have the unofficial, and I've been invited to give a more elaborate speech on the structure of the Mai, which I'm really pleased to do, because I think it's very important that the government know exactly where are we now.
To the city government?
City government,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
8th of July, yes.
Great.
It's going to be 7 o'clock.
And I think for all of these events, including the race, what's really important is that we're having as many, as much of the community as possible, different parts of the community, young people, old people, just a huge diversity. We want to really connect with people from very different backgrounds to see, to hear their input about this project.
That's great. Do you have other projects in mind beside the race?
Oh God, she have millions.
We have millions of ideas, so we'd love it. So you know, I can talk right now. What I do is run social media for the Institute. So I am running a Facebook and a Twitter and a Tumblr and an Instagram. So we have all of these ways to connect for people now who are interested in this project, want to learn more, want to have updates on our progress. And so if you want to do that, you can go to facebook.com/HudsonMAI. Sorry, MAI Hudson is the Facebook. Facebook.com/MAI Hudson. The Twitter is twitter.com/HudsonMAI. And you can connect, and we're really accessible on there if you have questions for us or input or any ideas. So we'd love to share with you.
But Sienna, can you just tell, because today we, she went on and started interviewing more community. So what you've been doing today?
Yeah, so today me with our a film director named Noah Blumenson-Cook and our audio girl, Emmeline Brodsky, went out into the community. We visited some of the stores and just spoke to store owners and also people in the street and just said, have you heard about this project, about the Marina Abramović Institute? What do you think about it? What do you think the impact will be in the community? Would you go there? And the response has been so far overwhelmingly enthusiastic. And Marina, we were speaking before we came here, and we said, but we need some criticism. We need some ideas from people who maybe don't know what it is or don't aren't enthusiastic, so we can talk to them and find out what they would like to see in the community as well.
What I like to say that you see, Hudson is a small city, but we can also see the Hudson have also the problems is the same as a big city in a small.
Absolutely,
and it's very interesting. But the small problems are more manageable than is in the big, which are kind of out of hand. So I was thinking, if this institute can contribute and somehow change some of the views and the structures were existing into the better, then we can create a prototype of society, which can, you know, be like a new Bauhaus, or the, and, you know, in the past there have been some amazing communities like this who can change the way how society think.
Can you solve the parking problem?
Parking problem. I just learned to drive 1 year ago. I'm the worst to talk about.
Oh, I could trade stories with you.
can I tell you how I learned to drive? That's
sure.
In Hudson. Anyway, I never drove a car in my life, and you know, and I learned to drive 2 years ago. You know, I was already 65, so I was hopeless. I looked into Hudson telephone book, and I found the name of the instructor who drive disabled people. So I called him, and he said, "I'm specialized in the people who don't have one arm, two arms, legs, wheelchair, can't turn the neck." I said, "I'm coming." He said, "Are you coming accompany with somebody?" I said, "No, just by myself." So I arrived to the first lesson. He looked at me, and he said, "Excuse me, but what's wrong with you?" I said, "Everything." And he really learned me to drive, and I passed the lesson right here in Hudson. I'm very proud of
him. I had three learner's permits before I finally took the test.
He was excellent, and I went first. You know, I absolutely first
well,
lesson.
Well, congratulations on that.
But I still don't drive to the city, to New York. Mm. So I just drive around. Anyway, one day.
Feel free to come back at any time and tell us about your plans. We'd love hearing from it. And our listeners, I'm sure, would be fascinated. I did want to ask you, I understand you're going to be doing a performance in Toronto. Is it with Robert Wilson?
Yes.
About your life?
You know, there are two very big events happening in the Toronto. It's a Luminato Festival. It's in June. And in this Luminato Festival, the theater piece called Life and Death of Marina Abramović will start with my own funeral. It's kind of really funny. In a way, that's a long story. We can talk about this another time. It's directed by Bob Wilson, and is with William Dafoe and Anthony, who create all the music, is singing also in the piece. And a part of this, in the same time, I got a grant for the €500,000, which was given to me from a mathematical research, John Tingley Foundation in Holland. And actually, the museum is in Basel. And for that grant, I used to build the prototype institute. And it was done by the architect Siebe Tetro, Dutch architect. It's a kind of, it looks like a tent, and have only 7 spaces. And in these 7 spaces, you can stay 2 hours, so which is much shorter than institute in here. But this prototype is going to be open 14th of June in Toronto during the Luminato Festival, and is going to be our case for the fundraising, because it can be very easily put on any truck and travel around the world.
Oh, wonderful!
And create the promotion for mm-hmm. Hudson. Mm-hmm. So that's really something that is happening right now.
That's great. I did want to get back to the interviews, Danica, that you were doing, and I think you're going to find great enthusiasm every place, because, you know, we feel that Hudson's on an upswing, and to have the Institute here will be a whole another level for mm-hmm. us. And also, this particular area around 7th Street Park is changing, and it's changing very quickly. And new shops are moving in, and there used to be tattoo parlors and
other obscure shops.
Yes, right. Other obscure shops. Right. It's a good way to put it. So you're coming at the right time. I think it's going to be.
You know, it's very important for Hudson also to know that that is. Like architect who is doing this building, Rem Koolhaas, have such a mm-hmm. big international reputation. So he can also create some kind of landmark for Hudson, that a part of the content of Institute, people will be also interested to see the building itself and how he deal with architecture and how integrate his ideas in this, in the Hudson. And if you know, like if you think about Bilbao, who was a very small little town, very similar to Hudson, nothing really was happening, much less developed, like Hudson is much, much on a different level developed. And then just by the Frank Gehry creating the Guggenheim Museum there, changed everything on economical based and create international landmark, which people come from everywhere just to come to see. So I hope this will happen here too. But before all this is going to happen, I really struggling, and that's really where I am now, to really raise the substantial funds. First to make the building, second to find second place for the people can stay, you know, the ones who are arriving to see the whole thing, and then to have the funds to run. So that's lots of pressure. But I never give up, you know. If somebody say to me no, for me it's just the beginning.
So one of the most exciting things for me about this institute is the way that it really is a meeting point of all of these different disciplines. So we have the architecture, and we have a large part of the mission is to integrate the sciences and the arts, have scientists, artists, spiritualists all in the same place. And I think that that's something that will be really excellent. And what we're doing right now, actually, for the fundraising, is coming up with we've come up with this idea after meeting with a video game designer, who wants to help us out to fundraise through video games. We've come up with this fundraising competition as well. So we've asked the public to invent these new ways of fundraising based on their experience, their field of work. And so we're having this, we've announced it to the public, and people are sending us these proposals, and what we are doing is we're going to select a few of these proposals and implement them, and give credit to the inventor, and then gives a portion of the funds that we raise to the inventor. So we're really trying to sort of crowdsource and really have people involved from these different disciplines in order to also help us with the fundraising of this project.
If you could change the method of fundraising, it would be the greatest contribution to the arts.
You know, that's why I need all these young brains, because, you know, the only way I know that, you know, we open the website and anybody can, in a very usual way, you know, see our website and donate any amount, and I'm very happy if the people do. But we are really trying to also to find unusual way. That's something never been done to see. You know, the institute is for people, and that's the ones who have to support it. And we are really looking how we can raise with the small amounts, but a large amount of people.
So if you have a proposal that you'd like to send in, any of our listeners,
I'll think about it.
Yeah, anyone can send into my email address, sienna@mai-hudson.org, by June 15th. And the MAI website itself is at mai-hudson.org. If you'd like to see more, not just in social media, right, but actually more about the project.
Well, I hope you'll come back and tell us more as this
Absolutely.
Progresses. This has been wonderful, being able to talk to you.
First, your neighbors, and you will never escape us.
Nor do we want to.
That's right. We're very new, too. Are we 1.5 years old?
Here at the station, 2 years
yes,
now.
Yes, 2 years.
Years,
yeah. 2 years.
I was very happy when I heard that you are here, because it's such a wonderful thing. I think that, you know, through radio, we can reach so many listeners, and we can make this program, you know, also the part of our program we can propose you, because if we have the musicians, if we have the people who are
right.
working with sound, and, you know, that could be so interesting.
I have a fundraising idea. You know, the train runs through here every once in a while, and
yes.
we could maybe make it into a sort of scenic route, and it would be a way for maybe occasionally on weekends a passenger train could come and take people down through the town to the waterfront, because it goes down to the Amtrak station from here.
But this is a great idea. But how we can...
And we charge money, I guess.
But this
That's
is not
how you'd raise
But where
money.
We get passenger train, because it's not passenger train. It's just a normal...
Well, a few kinks have to be worked out.
So if anyone has a passenger train for us out there, please deliver it.
We need passenger train now. But, you know, the another thing what we try to do, we would like to get from the institute few of the school buses, and we paint them white, and we put our logo, and they can, you know, people can just use them as the same thing, scenic looking around.
That would be
buses.
That would be very good. That is a great idea, because we need that. We have really enjoyed having you here in Studio B, and I hope you'll come back again soon. And we've been talking to Marina Abramovich and Sienna, her staff member, whose last name I'm not sure I heard.
Oristalio.
Oristalio. And Victor Mendolia has been assisting me. I'm Ellen Thurston, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you for having us here. Thank you.